Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
It's not taking up any of the sermon because last night was probably the best sermon that we're going to have preached from this house this weekend. Sorry. That we don't have one better planned for you this morning. But last night was just powerful. The difference between talking about it and being about it. Between talking about how do you love somebody for years and decades from his childhood that were showing up last night. And a church family that rallies around. And you can make it as simple as just saying, well, it's just somebody's birthday party. What's the big deal? Or you can say something supernatural was going on inside of his heart. There were so many different layers. Restoration of relationships, things that were going on inside of his family, our church family, and the community that we may not even know was going on, but that was taking place. It was awesome. It was powerful to see. We're going to continue on our series on the giants of our faith. And two people that I want to talk about this morning. Number one, who is a legend in the missionary movement in church history, is William Carey. Another one who probably you wouldn't maybe look at her twice if she would walk in, if you wouldn't maybe even know her, and that might not even be recorded in the annals of church history, would be Doris Jean. Let's talk about William Carey here just for a minute. Here's a picture of William Carey, and I like his haircut. William Carey's love for the scriptures, this was a scripture that he would preach often. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 2. It says this, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will possess nations and settle in desolate cities." This is a prophetic word from the prophet Isaiah, and he is saying, get ready to grow and get ready to expand. And if you're in this tent, move the tent posts out wider because we're going to have to create some more room. And if you live in this area, mark off some more of that territory and ground because we need to expand into some more territory. This was a prophetic word, and prophecy simply means to speak the word of the Lord. Isaiah gets the word of the Lord, and he begins to prophesy saying, we're going to take some ground. And then he says, not only you, but this is generational, and your descendants will possess nations. That's an audacious prophetic word. Is it not? If I would say over you, hey, you and your children and your grandchildren, you guys are going to possess nations. You'd be like, this guy's crazy. He's off his rocker. And yet Isaiah prophesies it. William Carey owns it. And then he begins to preach it to himself. As we talk about these people, I also want us to have in mind this idea. I think that most people are cooler than you know. And they're going through a battle that you probably don't know anything about. So let's just repeat that. Most people are probably cooler than you think, and they're probably going through something much harder than you even realize. And this other person I want to talk about, Doris Jean, she hates the name Doris, so we're just going to go with Jean because her name is, to me, her name is Aunt Jean Harold. Aunt Jean grew up, and she has this life where, let's just picture her as a little girl at 3 years old. She's playing, and she's in the front yard playing with some family and playing with some friends. And she has this life where she grows up, and one day she gets married. And she gets married to a man by the name of Hubert Harold. And Hubert and Jean, they have a couple of boys. And these sons are Doug and Jeff Harold. One of them is sitting in the crowd today in Doug. And they have these boys, and if they want to wrestle, then she'll wrestle. And if they want to chase and tickle, then she chases and tickles. If they want to play catch, she'll play catch. They grew up on a farm, and so she would help with the farm, and she would do farm work and help and serve and do all of those sort of things. Doug goes on, and he marries a lady by the name of Mary Lanehart. Mary and Doug a couple years ago stand up here and they tell us a little bit of their story during the newlywed game. Anybody remember that? That was a lot of fun. I learned more about my family than I really wanted to that morning. And they get married. They have a couple of boys also, and Dougie and Zach. Zach's my age, and we went through school together. Doug is, he has this seemingly idyllic sort of way that he was raised on a farmhouse just outside of the edge of town, goes to Madison Grant. He's smart. He's athletic. He's good looking. He's funny. Goes to Taylor University, top of his class. Has a high school sweetheart, Holly Bear, he marries, and they go on to have a pretty good life. They move to Indianapolis. He's a financial advisor, gets him connected to a church. While there, he's in a small group that he meets some pretty influential people, people like Indianapolis Colts players. He then, as he's doing financial advising for some big deal people down there, they end up building their dream home on the north side of Indianapolis. They have three children. Seemingly like life is just good. God uses them in powerful ways to minister. It's a story that's just too good to be true, right? Like, how does all of this beautiful stuff just happen? Well, let me tell you the exact same story, but there's a little bit more to it. Let's go back to Jean. She's 3 years old, and she's playing in the front yard with some friends and family, and a drunk driver comes up onto the sidewalk and hits her, crushing her leg. They rush her to the hospital trying to save her leg, and in fact, they could not. So for her fourth birthday, her gift was she got a wooden leg. Weren't able to save it from the foot and the ankle about halfway up to the knee. Now Jean Harold is growing up and wondering, what will childhood look like? Will I get married? Maybe it's even embarrassing to wear shorts. But she gets married to Hubert Harold, and they have two boys. And when those boys want to wrestle, she wrestles. And when they want to play chase and tickle, she chases them and tickles them. When they want to play catch, guess what she's doing? She's a farm girl, so she's working on the farm, and there's demands that have to do it, and she's able to do with one leg what many of us can't with two, and does it with joy in her heart and no complaining on her lips. She's a giant in the faith. Hubert and Jean, they go on to have two boys, and one of them is Doug, who is still sitting in here this morning. Doug and Mary, they have a son, Dougie. He's got a high school sweetheart, Holly. Holly, she gets diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in high school, which plays out similar to lupus. Eventually, going full into lupus. But Dougie's in love, man. He graduates from Taylor University, and they get married. They move to Indianapolis. They build their dream home. They are there as God is calling them to sell their dream home. They have three kids, but not because they can have kids. They had multiple miscarriages. And the pain of not being able to reproduce their own, there's an ache that sits inside. But I know I'm called to be a dad. And I know I'm called to be a mama. So adoption is a beautiful option. And so they begin to do this adoption thing. And through Guatemala, they get Maya from Guatemala. They then go all the way to Muncie, Indiana, and they get Cooper. And then to the Conga, where they get Saren. They start to build their family through the nations as God puts them together. Life is still good. Even though it's hard, life is good. Because God is faithful. He sees us through. And God says, I want you to sell all and become missionaries to Guatemala. And they say, yes. They sell all. They put their whole lives into a box, get on a plane, and fly south. Once they get their ideas and innovation start hitting and they create a business plan and a missionary plan and they create a feeding center, they create this schooling, they create all of these different opportunities to connect with families and start building infrastructure, building homes. They're reshaping this area in Guatemala. You know, sometimes it seems like people of faith, it's all peaches and cream. Like if I just come to Jesus, life is just going to be really good and easy. And actually, on the contrary, Jesus says, if you would just come to me and lay your life down, guess what? You're going to be persecuted and hated. And believe it or not, they hated me and they're probably going to do the same thing to you. And life is just going to get tough. Not necessarily that anybody's put hate on them. Life is just tough. And it's full of death and disease and disabilities and all kinds of things. But I'll tell you this, if you focus on what you have, you'll always have enough. But if you only focus on what you don't have, you'll never have enough. To Jean Harold, she could focus on what she doesn't have. You know what's fascinating? There's only 7 colors in the rainbow. And yet, look at all of the color and beauty we've been able to create. There's only 7 chords on the musical chart, and yet, look at all of the music that we've been able to create. It's not about what you don't have. It's about taking the little bit of what you do have and giving it to the Lord and saying, God, do something beautiful with this. Take my 2 fish and my 5 loaves and let's start making some fish sandwiches. And let's start serving some people. Whatever we have, let's just give it away. And perhaps God would just show up and do something amazing. Whenever I sit with Aunt Jean, there's hardly a complaint that comes out of her mouth. She's 98 years old. She's 98. That ought to be celebrated. There's a study that came out of centurions, people that lived to be 100 years old, and there was 3 things that they said that marked their lives. And they studied, what is it? They live in blue zones, they drink a certain amount of water, they eat bacon, they don't eat bacon. Like, what is it? Like, it's probably they ate a lot of bacon, but what is it? Do they walk a certain amount of time? Like, what happened? The 3 things that they said is, number 1, they lived with a purpose. Number 2, they always had a positive perspective. And number 3, they like to laugh. They like to laugh a lot. If you haven't been to a Harold gathering, you're missing out because it's full of laughter. She is a testimony, man. She will live. I don't know if there's any end in sight, this woman. I mean, she is full of joy. She just has it. And she could have went down the path of I got ripped off, and this is a bummer. And on and on and on and on. And she took what she had, and she made something beautiful. You know, they say the hardest belt to get in karate. Can you imagine what would be the hard? I mean, you think of all of the different colors, and man, to become a black belt must be the hardest belt that you ever could possibly get. When in fact, the hardest belt to get is the white belt. Because most people don't ever start. It's the hardest thing is just to start. It's the hardest thing just to jump in and to get going and saying, God, here I am. What will you do with my life? I'm ready to go. Let's do something with this. Or we could eliminate ourselves and say, I can't because of this. I can't because of this. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good communicator. I don't have enough money. I'm not old enough. I'm too old. I can't. On and on and on. So she watches her grandkids head off to Guatemala, and she says, don't think for a minute that I'm not coming. So at 90, she gets her passport. At 90, she gets her passport, and she heads to Guatemala. She goes to Guatemala, and here's Cousin Mary. They go to Guatemala 3 times. Guatemala ain't Indiana. It ain't flat. And there's only so far that bus can take you to where you've got to get out and you've got to huff it. You've got to hike, and it's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. And she does what it takes so that she can be a part of a mission that God put upon her and her descendants for generations, saying that I want to not only bless you, but your children and your grandchildren and your adopted great-grandchildren, and you're going to go possess nations. Who would have thought that Isaiah was prophesying about Doris Jean? Your descendants will do this. The legacy of your life will be marked by what you did, who you raised, and what they went and did with their lives. She said, I'm in. I'm in. Count me in. Church family, we're in. She's a part of us. That's our DNA. I want to match up my faith and my obedience and my radical faith-filled decision-making like this family. Man, they just go. And it would even be something if that was the end of the story. However, hardship continues, especially with Holly. On multiple times, she's had to be flown back to the States, hemorrhaging in a kidney. She's had brain bleeds because of the lupus. She gets blood clots. And they're life-saving, flying her home to save her life. Doug and Holly are here now in Fairmount for her to get the healing and the attention that they need. They're not on the mission field. They're not running around raising money or support. And we're going to do it this morning. There's going to be a plate in the back. And if you would want to partner your faith with some radical faith obedient people, give. You can give it to them. You can give it to us, and we'll give it to them. But we're going to support them. We're going to say, anybody that walks like that, anybody that lives like that, count me in. And I will give, I will pray, I will support, I will write, I will encourage, I will do whatever I can to lift the hand, the hands, the arms, the head of the faithful people that will go and serve. That's a giant in the faith. Those are giants in the faith. And we want to rally around and support them, especially in time of need. We want to meet them where they're at. William Carey, as he was preaching and prophesying this passage, he's a man that had God come upon him at an early age, even as a teenager. As a teenage boy, and his heart gets moved for the nation of India. And he marries a young girl by the name of Dorothy. Dorothy Plackett, he marries her. In 1781, William Carey, he's a 19-year-old, 1781, he feels the call of God upon his life. They end up and go on to have 5 children, but not all of them make it. And he sees a couple of his children die. We think, man, the missionary movement that took place, and it came out of the Baptist missionary movement in the 1700s with William Carey, surely God just shone his face and he experienced the presence and the power of God all the time. It was probably easy, and it was full of heartache. Once he gets to India, he doesn't have a lot of supporters that are there. He has to get another job while he's there to help fund his own life and his own mission in order to keep this thing going. His wife moves into places of deep depression. Mental health issues happen inside of him while he's trying to do this mission for the Lord. Along the way of 7 years, he's preaching and not a single person experiences the conversion of Jesus Christ. No converts for 7 years. Can you imagine doing your job and seemingly having zero success year after year after year? After year, nobody's funding it, year after year after year. And then God breaks through. He has this moment. And William Carey, he insisted on this, on the promises of God. He says, if God promises it, then it is also his command. William Carey's great quote that he is most known for is this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Could we kind of match our faith there? Let's expect great things from God, and then let's go attempt great things for God. In Carey's journal, he said this. Carey came to rely increasingly on the promises of God in the Bible, and he said this in his journal: yet this is our encouragement. The power of God is sufficient to accomplish everything which he has promised, and his promises are exceedingly great and precious. And on December 22nd in 1800, the Danish settlement here in India, which had been the home of this missionary movement since the previous January, four Hindus came to faith in Christ. One of them, Krishna Paul, was baptized the following Sunday, and then many other believers followed. The first happening here, and then by the time that he was done with his mission in 1821, they had baptized a total of 1,400 converts, about half of all who were Indian nationals. I'll tell you, there's just something about going and doing and obeying that God likes. And he walks you through even when it's hard, even if it's painful, even if it's frustrating, even if it seems like, man, I'm stretching my faith, but it's not getting funded, whatever. All of those things, God says, will you obediently walk this thing out? Perhaps he's putting it on your heart. What are some things where he's asking you to go and to do and to say and to move and to give? And we just kind of hold back and we're playing small. We're playing based upon our own strength and wisdom and knowledge. And I just want to tell you this morning, lean not on your own understanding, but in everything that you do, trust in the Lord with some big faith, knowing that he will make this path good for us. Let's make some faith steps here this morning. I want the band to come up and join me just for a moment. Because what I want to do is I want to just, can we just sing a couple of these bars that we sang earlier in this second song? I don't know if y'all were feeling it. I was feeling it, man. And I was like, Jesus, come on. Let's go. And as you are hearing the story of some faith giants, where are you at in your faith? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord where he's calling you and he's causing you, maybe creating something inside of you saying, come on, let's go. Let's do something. Let's get it. Let's go. There's more. What you're currently experiencing, and this is not prophecy. This is just basic wisdom and knowledge of experience. What you're currently experiencing is not all that God has. There's more. And so can you this morning, can you just come into the presence? Can you just yield yourself and say, God, here am I. Use me. God, would you extend my tent posts? Would you enlarge my influence? Would you make this thing bigger and greater? And here, this is all I've got to offer, God. This is all I've got to offer. It ain't much. But God, would you use it in powerful ways in my life, in my children, in my children's children? Let my descendants possess nations, God. Whatever, big faith that we come before the Lord here this morning. Let's do it. Let's just sing a couple of these.
Together. Oh, praise. Then on the third.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven, he rose again. Oh, trampled dead, where is your sting? The angels roar.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.